Welcome to the I'm Still Here podcast. I'm your host, Heather Jose. In 1998, at the age of 26, I was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. It changed everything for us, but I'm still here. And we're here to talk to you about life with metastatic disease. We know it's not easy. We know that there are challenges that never get talked about, but we're here to walk with you through them, to show you some hope, some inspiration, and to help you make a plan so that you can join me in saying, I'm still here.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Today we are going to talk about something that is, I think, maybe the most prevalent part of metastatic breast cancer, and that is fear.
Yeah.
You can kind of feel it roll in, and I feel like it goes up and down, and it never really leaves.
Yeah.
And so the biggest thing is learning how to live with it, right? The fear of what this disease could bring.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And yeah, it's a challenge.
So in the beginning, I'm guessing that that fear level was a 10.
Oh, yeah. I think a 10 plus.
A 10 plus, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then if you're lucky enough to get through treatment, I think it stays a 10 for a while.
Yeah, I think different things spike it. I think the things that maybe people don't realize, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of being on your own or the, even, you know, when you're starting treatment, like the whole, is it working? All of that is, it's still a 10, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think it's just so important because we know that like living in a state of fear is like not good for our bodies, right? Like mm-hmm. all the hormones, cortisol, all that kind of stuff that just keeps firing. I think we need to talk more about it. You mm-hmm. know, like I get it that I think our doctors are doing a better job of addressing a lot of things, but this perpetual state of fear that we're living in, doesn't often get talked about.
Well, I think it's across the board, you know, fear of dying.
Ure.
Is not solely for people with metastatic cancer.
No, I totally agree with that.
So that's really what we're talking about. We're just talking about now this fear of dying of someone who came much closer to it once.
Right.
You know, they had this disease,
mm-hmm.
Statistics were not good with them compared to somebody who doesn't have a disease. They still have a fear, or some people mm-hmm. don't. But a lot of people have a fear of dying. It's just amplified. And other certain things can amplify it pretty quick throughout your life,
right.
However long that is.
Right. Yeah, and I think when you're thinking about dying, like, it's sort of that whole thinking about what it would be for you or what that means for you when you're the person diagnosed, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on dying also in terms of when I watch people that, you know, or people that I know have died or whatever. And I think about, like, even sometimes when, you know, because Facebook sometimes feels like you've kind of got a picture of what's happening, or people are posting a lot about people as they get towards the end of life. And I think, oh, no, I wouldn't want that. Or, oh, no, I wouldn't. I hope that the person who is getting closer to dying is actually doing it the way they want to, not the way their family wants them to, or...
Which just doesn't happen probably most of the time, right?
No, I agree. I mean, I agree with
They're
that.
Just not in a state to control that.
Well...
A lot of people aren't.
I think not even that. I think it's that, but I think also their family members are more worried about them staying, being part of this world longer than sometimes they're even wanting to.
Sure.
Be.
Oh, yeah. That's
you know
a,
what I mean?
That part of it. Oh, yeah. That's a... Whole nother conversation.
Right.
End of life. Yeah.
Right. And, but I do think, like, the fear, you're right. The fear comes from the worry of dying,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the what's to come.
Not only for you.
Yeah.
But for others.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For both. I mean, I think when I think about that, like, the fear was not so much, it was like, if I died, but it was the mm-hmm. what happens to them, mm-hmm. not the... I'm concerned about myself
well, it was
dying.
Both.
Yeah, it's
it was both.
I mean, there's a, yeah for sure.
I think maybe at a certain age, and I think this is much later in life, and I remember I said maybe you do completely shift away from, I'm scared of dying for me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the loved one you would leave behind.
Yeah.
Is 99% the reason for that fear, compared to when you're 25 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. I think it's maybe the experiences you've had in your life and how you've processed them, I guess, with some of that, you know, and just where you feel like, I don't know, how fulfilling you feel like your life has been, and maybe the all of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, the relationships you've met or had and all of that.
Right.
So when we're thinking about fear, I mean, like, it is about learning how to manage it. I think that's the crucial thing. Like, it's not going away. Are you going to be scared? Yes. For a really, really, really long time. And I'm not... It's just a part of it. It is a part of it. And so part of what I first thought of was, like, it's not helpful to think about the what ifs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really about... Because I think that's where you go, you know, automatically this... future, what's coming, what happens, all of these things.
I don't know if it's fair to say it's not helpful to think about. That's human nature.
Sure.
I think it's not helpful to dwell on.
Okay. Mm.
Because honestly, you can't, oh, that's not helpful. Well, I just thought about it again.
Well, I think then again, we'll talk about, like, you do have to then counter that.
Yes.
Right? You have to
not to dwell on it.
Right.
To shift.
And there's a couple things with that, too. So we can talk about that happening, that the what ifs, you know, you wake up first thing in the morning and you think, oh, my God, that's right. I have metastatic breast cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, what is going to happen? And you either learn to, you know, counter that in a way where you literally think, I just thought that answer is, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm okay now, you know? And it's kind of about, like, sort of staying present a little bit and grounding yourself in, I'm not going to borrow trouble from the future,
mm-hmm.
you know?
That's not easy to do.
It isn't easy.
And it takes a lot of practice, like we've said over and over. And you did practice it.
Mm-hmm.
Still do.
Yeah.
I'm sure, to some extent.
Yeah.
But... it's not something you're just going to decide. And that's where, just like with anything we've talked about, you might be listening to Heather and say, oh, I want to try that.
Mm-hmm.
And you do, and you just go, what the hell was that? That didn't help at all. Well, that's the first time you know.
Yeah.
We just like with diet, just like with exercise, you're going to fail at this sometimes, and you got to practice it. And it does become habit.
Yeah. And what you think about, you know, or what you're focusing on is what you think about.
Yes.
So that's the whole thought of this. It's kind of like that whole therapy technique where they say, you know, tell me just to kind of, like, when you're on high anxiety or whatever, tell me how many blue things there are in the room, you mm-hmm. know, and then you do that and then you have a number, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask how many red things are. And you're like, I don't know. I wasn't looking for red. So that's the thing, is, like, we have to stop. We're going to look for fear. So how do we get away from that a little bit? How do we move towards something different? Is, you know, and it is really, it's about two things. It's about a bunch of things, but it's about addressing those thoughts first. It's really about taking the time, and it's almost like a slow-mo. What did I just think there? And then how can I counter that? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the countering of that, sometimes I could do it on my own. Initially, I couldn't do it on my own very often.
Mm-hmm.
Or I needed somebody in my life to be able to say, I'm so scared, what if? And I needed somebody to come back and say, yeah.
Relax.
Calm down.
It might be that, but odds are it's not.
Right.
Let's wait a day and find out the facts on this instead of, you know, there's usually something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard when you're the person in the fire.
Yeah.
You know, to do that. And there's a lot of things that can help with that. But if you have somebody in your life that can, just have a conversation, I think. I think when we say fear, is it just anxiety?
Yeah, it's
over a topic.
I think so. It is.
You know, and the topic happens to be cancer.
And anxiety is kind of that borrowing, like, the unknowns. It's mm-hmm. the unknown of life, right? Not knowing what's going to happen.
Right.
That we get so worked up about, because it also feels like we don't have any way to control it, right? We can't control the unknown. Yep. So it is about coming back to those kind of things. What can I control and how can I walk through this, mm-hmm. you know? So having somebody that can help you through when you're, you know, spiraling, when you're having a tough time is really important. And having that person be focused on you and not on them is also very important in that, right? Like, sure. I gotta believe for you, there were times that you were like, oh yeah, this, you know, like you were worried about how this was going to affect your life.
Yep.
Right. But you didn't really show that to me.
Nope.
You know,
and I, you know, and that everything in my life, you know, at that time related to football. It's the same thing. When I came in at halftime and I knew we were getting our asses kicked and likely the second half was going to go the same way, I can't show that.
Yeah.
You know, is that a lie? I don't know. I think it's a purposeful.
Yeah.
You know, not bringing up all the facts, you know, about this. It's the same thing here. It's, yes, I was absolutely scared as you, in a different way.
Yeah.
But I, you know, my go-to is, well, hold on. Slow down. What do we got in front of us?
Yeah.
And just to try to focus. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. And sometimes I think, I mean, honestly, in the early days, it was, how do you feel today? Feel okay. Let's work from that. What can you do today? What can you do in the next hour? Have you, you know, gone through the things?
And I can remember sometimes, you know, when you were spinning up and for good reason, I'm not saying this in a bad way, but it was elevating. Sometimes you just needed to kind of yell a little bit and be pissed and say all of the negative things that could, and it was my job to listen.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I knew that or sensed that, and I can remember a few of those where I just listened to it. And probably didn't have one bit of advice on that, but
well, I think this is the thing. I don't think, I mean, this is kind of a common thing in, you know, relationships with men and women. You know, women oftentimes do need to just talk about something, not looking for a fix or an answer, sure. right? And we were able to then, through the years, be able to verbalize that even better when I was concerned or worried or fearful of, like, a progression of some kind, some sort of ache or pain or something. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before on here, that literally it would be like, it's a process for me now at this point where I'm like, okay, my back hurts. And then I can go through the steps of, have I worked out? What's been unusual? Da, 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 da. Right. And then if it doesn't go away with that, then I will bring it to you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you are like, dude, we're 50. Like, that's what happens.
Yeah.
But also willing to work the steps with me. A lot of times it goes away right then. And prior and after that, like years ago, there oftentimes was a third step where I would call my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't do that anymore. It would be very rare. But that was the next process of if the verbalizing, if the being able to, you know, kind of get it out into the air doesn't help it just resolve itself, then what's the next step?
Yeah.
You know.
And if you're not taking any of these steps, it's continuing to spiral.
You're just spiraling.
Yeah, for sure.
And you can't even, then what happens, at least for me, is when I'm spiraling, then I'm freaking out about something that has nothing to do with what originally started this in the first place, right?
No doubt.
And that's hard on everybody, right? So being able to kind of get back to what maybe that root cause was or what was starting in is so important.
And if you've listened to any of our shows, you know how important that Heather believes, you know, the power of the mental side of this.
Yeah.
And your mental side will be completely and utterly ineffective if you're in this spiral. You know, you don't have the ability to bring that focus and bring that attention and talk, you know, all the things we've talked about. You don't have that ability when you're in the middle of one of these kind of, we'll just say, freak out sessions that are going to happen if you have metastatic cancer.
And when you're first diagnosed, they're going to happen every day. They're going to happen multiple times a day.
Yeah. You know, do we think really that our brain can control our immune system and get it fighting and do those things and get it at its optimal level when it's doing something else. You know, right. Our brain's not a multitasker as much as people think it does. Right. It just doesn't. And
yeah,
you know.
So another thing to kind of go along with that is when we're not spiral, you know, having these episodes, when things are not going out of control, that's the time to really build your arsenal of things that can help you when things are starting to go bad. You know, one is talking to somebody else, but the other thing is like that notebook, that what can I read that feels good to me? What can I write? What can I listen to? You know, the other thing is just like getting out in nature, being very present, going for a walk, doing the things that are just maybe distractors of a kind, you know, of a sort, but really just kind of to take the focus off of all of these thoughts that just go out of control, right?
No doubt.
You know, yeah. And that's the great thing about that is if you can kind of, that's when I look for like the low hanging fruit, you know, I'm starting to freak out, but I can maybe at least do this. I can listen to a 5-minute visualization. I can, you know, and maybe that then will go, okay, I feel like now I can go do the next thing that will help me build this day that feels that it was not just useful, but maybe that I was not giving in to the anxiety of, you know, the cancer.
Is there also some, there's probably not, some recognition of what put me here?
What do you mean?
Is there some, is there even after this episode or after the, you know, this, you're talking about somebody, yeah, this morning, I, you know, that type of thing. Is there, what got me there?
Yeah, sometimes.
Or is it just not even possible?
I think sometimes it is. I mean, again, to go back to some of the things we've talked about before, when I first was diagnosed, there were no portals. Yeah. Now there's portals, right? And portals.
Is this the number one thing that gets people spun out?
Honestly, it is. I feel like it is, especially around any time, a scan time, because they're in their portals, they're reading things. Doctors write things. Or whoever, mostly doctors, radiologists, all these people, they write things not for you to read, you know, but you know, this whole, you know, we have a right to have all of our records. I agree with that. But I also just feel like most often we are not in a state to really take that information in.
I think you're an unusual person if you can.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree.
The majority of us, it's not good.
Right. It, number one, medical terms sound scary on a good day. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally had a little bump taken off my abdomen yesterday. My skin check was amazing, by the way. But even reading that is like, man, you can make that sound horrible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it just isn't for our brains to process when all you're looking for is what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, you know?
Right.
So,
But I think identifying that, you know, if there is something putting you into that, if you don't identify it, isn't it just going to keep happening?
Yeah.
Now, some things are absolutely out of your control and it's literally just a thought that pops in.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about when there's an instance of something or causing this. When I watch this show every time.
Oh my God. And that was like all of those things. So I'm a huge reader. I love to read. So many books would be like, the drama would be somebody having cancer. Stop it right there. You don't have to read it. Have somebody reimburse. It doesn't matter what it costs. The cost in your brain is so much more, right? Yeah. The cost of getting through something is, it's not worth it to me. Mm-hmm. We've talked about, we don't watch Grey's Anatomy. It used to be ER when I was diagnosed. Those kind of things. I'm not going to do it. That is just where I
kind of... That puts you into a spin a lot.
It does put me into a spin. I would even go as far to say as like some of... Like just living in a world of fear or bad things happening. All of the true crime and everything that people love to listen to. Mm-hmm. It just puts your body on alert a lot of the times, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want my body on alert. It was doing that all by itself. I wanted my body to be a little bit more about rainbows and sunshines. I needed it to be so that it could then maybe relax and build that immune system that we're talking about and doing all those things. Going back to the portal, though, it takes a lot of restraint, but you don't have to read that stuff. You can turn off notifications for it, so when it pops up, you could say, I mean, I wouldn't probably have been above, like, driving my phone to you to Absolutely. Have you read something.
Yep.
You know?
And like, I'll be honest, in our relationship, I wouldn't have been the person to read it anyway.
Right.
Because I want to have plausible deniability of things.
Yes.
I want to be able to honestly look you in the eyes and have those conversations. But we do have people in our lives
right.
that would...
Could review that.
And would let us know. I wanted to be on your team in this, not...
Yeah, holding back information.
So just in our role. Now that's way different for other people. Somebody yep. can handle that. But I do think it's yep. somebody else that yep. should be reading
it. And I will say, like, it's okay to make this very clear with your doctor, your healthcare provider, your team to say, this does not make things better for me. I would prefer a phone call, or can I call you? I would oftentimes call before I went to the appointment. I knew they had read my scans already. I wanted mm-hmm. to know kind of what I was going into. And over the years, even as I got more and more good scans, it would be just even a matter of, do I need to bring somebody or not?
Yep.
Right? You know? I mean, some of it's just...
Well, I think that your nurse, or nurse practitioner, I don't remember her. What's her name? The one that was always there.
Megan
could be. I don't remember. I'm sorry. She would call you.
Yeah.
Not even you call her. She would call you and just go, I know you were wondering. So yeah. I just want to tell you everything was great.
Yeah.
That yep. just yep. because they knew
because
why.
Because we had established you had this. That conversation. I had the conversation so yeah. many times. They knew that I was working on, you know, mindset all of the time. Mm-hmm. So I did have that established with them, you know.
And by the way, she wasn't a freak about this. It wasn't like Heather wasn't bugging them and doing that. It was just she would, within the normal conversation of a checkup or whatever, just say, yeah, and this is, I'm trying this and I'm trying to be real. And they would listen, you know, and they were great people. We had a great team. So that's why it kind of, you're kind of sounded like I would tell them and I would,
and that's not how
it was.
I wasn't, yeah. I'm not over the top about, I can be over the top about a few things, but it was not like me going in there saying, this is how it's going to be.
No, this is them buying into it. This sounds like a great thing
to
do.
Yeah, let's try this. Yeah. You know, there have been times that I have like abruptly stopped people, but even that it's in this tone of voice. It's not yelling at somebody. Yeah, it's just, I don't want to hear that. Thank you. you mm-hmm. know, or we don't do that this way, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to advocate for yourself. And, you know, that's also helping you control this fear that is a part of life, right?
Yep.
So, I think that's maybe most of everything, really. It's really just about, you know, thinking about those thoughts and acknowledging them. It's okay to acknowledge them. It's even okay to say, you know what? I get it. You're scared. I'm scared right now, but I'm going to try to, you know, think about something else for a while, or maybe the future is fine, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever you can borrow from,
yep.
you know. And I would say the only other thing I would say with that is part of that is also because we are so future oriented just in general as people, it's okay to make some plans. It's okay to make some goals, you know, if that helps you.
It's more than okay. It's highly recommended, I think.
I agree.
I think
sometimes we sell ourselves short and we say like, well, what if it doesn't happen? Who cares?
Yeah. By the way, we didn't do this.
What?
We didn't make plans far out. We were.
I said. I mean, the first
looking
goal,
back, I think you think this.
No, well, the goal to watch Sydney go to kindergarten.
Yes,
that was a goal for me. I do remember things like I remember the first time we bought plane tickets and we bought them like 7 months early, and me literally thinking, I hope I'm here for this.
Yep.
I remember that.
That's
too.
What I'm saying is...
It's not like the confidence...
With the knowledge you have now.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, it's okay to make some plans, to make some goals. In fact, we all need that in our lives, right? I would say the same thing to my 23-year-old son. You don't have to have it all planned out, but keep working towards what you want.
Absolutely. So,
all right. Well, hopefully that was helpful. Mm-hmm. Fear is a big factor.
Yep.
If you ever watch Fear Factor. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Whatever. That's just showing our age. All right. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still here. After all these years, after all these tears I shed, I'm still here. And I'm walking this earth like I should be. There was days that I didn't know if I would be. Yeah, yeah. Now I stand tall with my feet in the ground and my head in the clouds. Cause I'm still here like I should be. Yeah, yeah, like I knew that I could be. Here we go, here we go.
Hey everyone, I hope you love this episode of I'm Still Here, and I wouldn't want you to miss out on what comes next. So be sure to rate, review, and follow this show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, especially if you found it helpful. We need all the shares, likes, stars, and love we can get. We'd also love to hear from you. Leave your comments and questions, and we'll incorporate them into future episodes. Have a great day.